Hello, Jermaine Griggs here, and welcome to my four-week Hold You By The Hand online training program. You have made it to week number four. Now, in week number one, we talked about basic community concepts, how to determine your niche, technical aspects, do's and don'ts, a little bit of user engagement. In week number two, we talked all about integration, how to integrate it with your normal internet marketing activities. We talked about autoresponders, personalization, newsletters. We talked about behind-the-scenes sales page tactics and how to integrate this and use social proof on your behalf. Then in week number three, we talked all about traffic and viral growth strategies, things you can do for free, or if not free, very low cost to drive massive amounts of people to your website. We talked about Web 2.0, social bookmarking. Now you've made it to week number four, and while we do have a bonus fifth week, week number four, in this week we're going to talk about content, user management, and then we're going to put the icing on the cake, so to speak, by talking about a few monetization strategies. So we're going to talk about how to get content created fast, how to further push users through that engagement funnel that we introduced in prior weeks, why a community is a gold mine to find customer affiliates. These are affiliates that will sell your products, but they start as regular customers. An over-the-shoulder look at the same tools I use, how to monitor every aspect of your site, and several different ways that you can monetize your site, from an advertising perspective to selling more of your courses and products to joining other people's affiliate programs. So get your seat belt on, and let's explore this week's content. Now, I want to start off by talking about user management. And in the beginning, I'm going to review for a few moments because I did introduce the engagement funnel, if you remember it. And basically, what the engagement funnel talked about is how to get users from the very basic stage when they barely know about your site. They're barely a passerby. Maybe they've gotten their first exposure, but they haven't really committed, all the way down to being a site evangelist is what I kind of coined the term. Now, the first thing, and if you remember from week number one, community membership is not an event, okay? It's not an overnight thing. It is a process, an ongoing process at that. And if you remember, we started off by talking about the stranger, the person who, you know, doesn't even know your site exists, to the passerby. They pass, they get their first exposure. The lurker may have joined, they enter in more deeply into your community, but they don't do anything. They more read, kind of, they're passive. We talked about the participant. They actually get started, but they're not regulars, you know, they're not on weekly, they're not on daily, but they participate when they can. We talked about the regulars who are on daily, who are on regularly. And then finally, the site evangelists. Not only are they on all the time, but they're passing your site along. They've gotten to that end point of that sense of ownership. It's their site. You can't tell them anything else, right? They are at your site, and regardless of you being the founder, it is their site, and they take it on that way. They invite their family and friends. It comes up in casual conversation, in other arenas of their life. It's what they do. It's their passion, and they've reached the height of it. They're passing your site on. They're helping you grow. They're on MySpace talking about you, and they're not necessarily being compensated. Yes, we will talk about customer affiliates and how to get customers and give them some financial interest in helping the site grow, but even before this, they're just engaged so much so and love your site so much so and see the benefit and the value it has for your passion niche that they want others to see it. You know, when you find something funny on YouTube or something funny on MySpace, you know that feeling you get when you just have to pass it on? You're not getting paid. You have no benefit to pass it on. I remember a prank call between a comedian and some lady, and it just had me laughing deeply in my belly, in my gut, and I just passed it on to everybody. I mean, I passed it on to my guru friends. I said, forget it. I know you guys are busy too and stuff, but you gotta see this. And that's the kind of feeling that, you know, your regulars and your site evangelists get. They can't help but to pass your site on. And this is a process, okay? So you start off with strangers and passerbys and lurkers, but the idea is to push them to site evangelists. And I talked about a number of concepts in week one, some of the prior lessons on how to do that. And we're going to kind of start where we left off there. So here are some more user engagement tactics, how to get people pushed down that funnel. First of all, user education. Now, I'm working with a number of people, and you know, I've recommended my programmers to them, which kind of puts me in the middle of the action. But we play guitar. A good friend of mine, Will Landrum, you know, right when he launched, he has about 1,500 members right now. I said, Will, you really got to educate your users, okay? This can be a new thing to some of them in their passionate niche, right? I mean, yes, MySpace is commonplace now, if you will, Facebook and things like that. But still, see, my users are piano players. You know, we're talking about from the young 12-year-old just getting started maybe to the grandma who's been playing for years but want to play by ear. So I can't assume that everybody automatically knows how to come on and create a profile or how to use the form or what BuddyMail is or why the heck they should add friends to their profile or why create or even join a group. Or, you know, some people are, you know, really paranoid. I had one lady send me a private message and said, these people are sending me private messages and they keep saying that these things are private. I have nothing private to hold. And it sounds kind of, you know, she thought it was romantic because it was a private message. It has nothing to do with that, you know. So there is a sense of user education. Now, how do you do this? Well, in the beginning, when your site's first launching, it really does take you. And if it's not you, it takes somebody who's going to be sort of like your moderator or keep this thing moving for you, or maybe a committed member or a good customer or somebody who looks up to you, or, you know, some kind of mentee or what do you call them? The people that come in from college. I can't even think of the name right now. A temporary worker, an intern. Yeah, it can be an intern. But somebody needs to create and be around in the beginning. Camtasia videos are very helpful. You can get Camtasia Studio, which is what I use to actually make these educational videos here. I love it. You can edit. You can zoom in. You can do all kinds of things. And that's put out by TechSmith. That's Camtasia Studio. If you can't afford that for $300, you can get Cam Studio. Now, it's free, but it has some limitations. You can't do as much of the editing and all that kind of stuff if you can even edit. I'm not sure. But Cam Studio, I hear a lot of people use on the free end. Use screenshots, you know, take pictures of certain areas in your site and explain, just like I do in some of my handouts and some of my slides that you see. Use arrows, use titles, use clouds, you know. Here's how to post in the form. Step one, click on new post. You got to almost tell them. I remember when Corey Rudel used to talk to me, and a lot of marketers say this, but even your sales copy needs to be written at a sixth grade reading level. Well, what does that say for getting people involved in real, you know, Web 2.0 interaction? Well, if you got to write at the sixth grade level, then obviously you need to explain things as well. You know, and it's not saying all your users are dumb or slow or nothing like that. That's just the standard, okay? So make things very simple and easy, especially Web 2.0. And like we talked about in our week one teleseminar, I remember I had my designer on. I had Eunice on, my programmer. And, you know, Web 2.0 meant totally different things to them. But for my designer, it meant usability, user friendliness, large fonts, lots of instructions, easy, you know, simple. Okay, so, you know, depending on how many features are in your site, and I've been guilty of this, having a bunch of features and releasing them all at once and having people confused out of their mind and having to slow up a little bit. So remember, Camtasia Studio video, screenshots of certain things. I love Snagit. Snagit's a great program. I mean, actually, I can show you how it works right here. So you open a program like Snagit, which I get, you can get from TechSmith for like, what, $40 or something like that. And not only can you shoot the whole window or full screen, but you can do a scrolling. Like, let's say you have a web page that it might be 5 pages with a long scroll bar over here, right? It can even scroll for you and make one long document. You can do a whole website, keeping all the links intact. You can do flash stuff. There's so many things you can do. But I like the region, because sometimes you can just take certain things off of a page just to show somebody. For example, see, I can take just this part of my presentation, and then I can bring it into Snagit, which I'll need to bring over here. And then I can add certain elements to this. You know, if I want to, I can put a cloud here and say, you know, user engagement is important, right? Wonderful program to have. Then I can put like a big old, I can do this torn edge. It's a cool little effect, you know. See how it puts it there? And then I can highlight, maybe if I want to highlight Camtasia videos, okay, highlight that. Maybe I need to put an arrow, and then I can, you know, twist and turn this arrow. Well, messing up there. But you get the point. I mean, it's a wonderful program. It's very simple, and I need things simple like this. I mean, squares, circles, automatically does spotlighting. Like if I wanted to only highlight screenshots, I can highlight that, continue. I can magnify it. Notice what's going to happen here. See how it makes it bigger? I can dim everything else because I've highlighted that, right? And then I can put a drop shadow. I can even blur everything else if the emphasis is only on a screenshot, for example. Now I have a picture. I can copy that. I can bring it to my PowerPoint or save it online. I can even do FTP directly to my website. So that's Snagit. And I can't really show you Camtasia. It would take too long. But maybe a bonus video or something like that. But you got to educate your users in the beginning by just telling them, you know, how to do little things on the side. Or just the main things to get started. Show them how to get engaged by changing up their profile. Show them some of the codes out there they can add to their profile. Now, if you don't understand it yourself, maybe you need to educate yourself in the beginning. You know, go out, type in MySpace codes or profile codes. And there's tens of thousands of codes. You can bring that code into your own, you know, community or profile and show them how to soup up their profile. If you have this capability in your community, or how to post messages if you have that capability, you know, how to add friends, all the things you take for granted. So that's user education. Help links and pop-ups, you know, anything that needs to be defined, turn it into a hyperlink. Now, like I said, and John Asser brought up a great point from The Secret when he interviewed me. He said, now you don't know have to know how to do all these things. I just so happen to, you know, like to, you know, do Snagit and Camtasia. And I'm not technical, but I like to learn new things. So if I can be self-sufficient and don't have to rely on somebody all the way, that's personally my take on it. But like John said, you don't have to know all this stuff if you don't want to. If it confuses the heck out of you, just know enough to explain it. This is what I need. Have somebody do it for you. I need you to go through the process of creating a profile, make a video, make it really explanatory, you know, step by step, talk slow, and let them do it for you, you know? I mean, getting work is a dime a dozen. If I said that right, that's what my mom used to always say. But it truly is on Rent-A-Coder and some of those sites. I'm now to the point where I post weekly. So if you don't know how to do this stuff, don't worry about it. You can have people do this for you. Tutorials in the forum. We've taken several times when I've replied personally to people, I'll take those replies and I'll put it in the forum. So that reply doesn't go wasted. So when I'm replying to somebody, I don't think of it as like, oh man, I'm doing customer support. I'm the founder. I'm not supposed to do customer support. I mean, they are sending a message personally to me and I do want to reply most of the time. So what I'll do is copy and paste that to a particular help form. We'll have a form just for help and support, for example, and have all of these tutorials in there. Or sometimes they're random, you know, throughout the beginner section or whatnot, but that's also something. Customer service canned training replies. We use Timpani Contact Manager, which I'll talk about a little bit later. But, you know, if common questions are coming in, have them canned in whatever program you're using. I think I'm going to talk about it here. Kayako is a great one. All the marketers use it. I could never get it to work the way I wanted to. This was like 4 years ago, so maybe things have changed. We've been using Timpani, which used to be called LivePerson, which used to be called HumanClick. I've been with them so long, they've changed names 3 times. And that's what we use for our canned training replies. Now, that's the education side. And I wanted to show you my friend Wills. He's at We Play Guitar. And look at how he engages his users. We won't watch the whole thing, but I thought this was interesting because right after I told him, educate your users or at least introduce yourself and really get them engaged, he goes and does a video and he posts it right on his homepage. So let's check him out right now. So I'm at We Play Guitar. Let me go ahead and log in. Cool site. You wouldn't even know it was my same platform from Hear and Play because my friend Brian Deese came, hooked him up. His site looks better than mine. I am truly envious. But anyway, it's the same platform. Just looks a lot, you know, web 2.0-ish and stuff. But notice my site does the same thing here. So Will, good job at that, man. You really work with it. And then right here, I noticed this as, you know, and he, of course, he's promoting his own course, monetization. He's only been up a few weeks. You know, he has 1,300 members. That's all right with me. I mean, I already have 421 views to my profile, and I'm not on his site hardly that much. I have 47 messages waiting for me, 25 buddy mail. So his site is pretty active. I mean, he has 29 users online for a new site. That's pretty good. 14 members. Here, people are posting photos. I mean, this is a community that just started. I feel great for Will. I know he has big things planned. But here, let's look on his welcome video. And this is something to engage users. He's playing the guitar, huh? Rock guitar, by the way. And it's breaking up because of my internet connection and my Camtasia. But you get the idea. It's a 5-minute video. It's kind of large. I mean, I was surprised to see it this big. You know, it goes all the way across. And maybe it could be smaller for size purposes and streaming. But it's great to me. I mean, he has his guitar. He sounds good. He's a rocker. That's his target audience. He's connecting with them. So, and there's a bit of education. If you watch the whole thing in there, telling them key things to do. It's instruction. And it's kind of a message from the founder. So I just thought that would be an interesting thing to show you along the line of, you know, just getting people engaged in the beginning of the process. And a number of these, maybe a series of videos like this, really opening yourself up. User engagement, if you recall from week one, is all about transparency. It's all about just being open, right? These are the days where Tom, the big CEO worth millions, you know, is just there in jeans and a shirt, and he's friends with everybody, and he replies to messages. I mean, I saw him on the Emmy Awards. They did a little webcast, and there he is in just jeans. It's not about the big official. Now you're open, okay? This is Web 2.0. User interaction, let's move on. Live chat events. We hold events every Tuesday night. The service we use is called UserPlane. It is free. I've talked about it before. And you can do a paid version that makes it more integrated. Before we use UserPlane, we use BraveNet. It has a bunch of different webmaster tools, all the way from forms to classified ad scripts to, you know, chat rooms, all kind of photo galleries and stuff. So it's cool. It's more, I would probably honestly say, a Web 1.5 site. I mean, it's good. The tools have been around forever. But we actually moved to UserPlane. So it just depends on what you're looking for. If you're looking for something basic, easy to get up, though, BraveNet has a number of tools. Point out interesting form topics. This is something else that is very important in the beginning, to keep people moving towards your form. More interaction from you is definitely needed in the very beginning. You can pay for posts. There's a particular site out here, and this is controversial, but you can go to postonmyform.com, and you actually pay people to stay on your form and post and keep things moving along. So it's worth looking at. You know, you want to make sure the person's knowledgeable and it's not just fluff. But go ahead and check out Post on My Form and see if it's something that might interest you, because I know some of my buddies that actually use it to keep their form going. We don't really need it. We have members, you know, that are talking and mingling and things like that. But in the beginning, it is very hard to get a form going, and it's all about social proof, because if nobody's chatting, it's hard. It takes a really good member to be the first one or the first couple to get things going. They want to see that it's already, you know, popping off in your community. So that's one route. Mass messaging. This is a big secret, and none of the users really know it unless they're savvy. But you want to make sure your community, or you can have a programmer do this. I had Eunice custom do this for me, because it wasn't, I mean, I can send mass emails. Of course I can do that, because I know everybody's email address and whatnot. But I wanted the ability to do mass private messaging, okay? Yes, members can message each other one-on-one, and they can separate usernames by commas and do multiple things. But I wanted the ability to send it out to everybody at once and to personalize it, so it seemed like it came from me. Of course, I decapitalized things. I'm like Tom in MySpace. It's not an official email. It needs to look like something you type your friend. It's just like you were typing a one-on-one. You wouldn't be all official with it, right? If you're just talking to a friend, right? You know, dot every I, what was it? Dot every I, cross every T. So I'll do mass messaging every once in a while, you know, acting like I'm talking directly to that person, maybe pointing out interesting forum topics or groups or new members or any kind of new lessons that have developed. And the same thing goes for mass commenting. Now, the difference between a message and a comment, messages are private. Those are in the each user's individual inbox, whereas comments are public. They're on their profile pages. You got to be more, I won't do personalized things there because it'll be obvious. Because if I'm doing it to 70 or 5,000 members and all of you guys see the same thing, that's going to look weird. So I'll do that for global announcements. And it's more obvious that I'm the founder and I'm sending everybody out a happy holidays or happy summer or spring break or, you know, something general, holidays like that. And that'll go out on everybody's profile. Automated messaging as administrator. Okay, so this is ways to, you know, send them various emails at certain times or follow up messages. Basically, you know, thanks for joining the site. 7 days later, getting them more engaged. 14 days later, sending them new tips and things like that. Mass messaging as regular disguise user. Like I mentioned, I'll actually create and have my program. I'll make a username called I Love Music, and I have like Eunice turn it into a hidden administrator. So nobody else knows it has administrative rights. But at the end of the day, I'll send a message to all 75,000 users as a peer to peer. Like, how do you like this site? I'm new to this site. It's more for research purposes. I think in research class, they would call it the participant observer, I guess, the one that really gets down in the trenches. That's what I try to do every once in a while. Just see how people are replying, because they don't know they're replying to Jermaine. As far as they're concerned, they're replying to a new user. And I've done that a few times, and I've been surprised by the results that people really keep it nice. I mean, they love hearing play, they love the resources, and you know, they really point new users in the right direction when I do these mass messaging. So that's one way. User involvement growth. One thing that is very important is you have to teach users to teach users. In other words, you have to teach users to teach others. There are no dumb questions, so that's something that really needs to be published, even if you have to put it in red over every form topic or in your header settings or something. You can have a programmer put that, like, you know, literally put it in every post at the top. You know where you see generally the title, the private message, you see all these little icons? You know, put it in red, italicized. There are no dumb questions. And then also the other side of it is it should really be published that there are no dumb answers either. You know, let people answer. You know, it'll self-correct itself. This is a community. There comes times where, yeah, somebody will say something, and then others will correct, and then that person will learn, and that'll create more community. Because the more you have people going back and forth, the better, because people are being alerted. The emails are going out. We'll talk about that. And, you know, and the community is growing. The more and more you get people engaged. But here's the problem. The beginners are generally asking questions. The advanced are generally answering the questions, but what about the ones in the middle, okay? Here's the beginners over here, generally. They're always curious, well, how do I do this, or how do I play scales, or how do I, what's the beginner plan? And then you have our, you know, our really engaged members, or maybe the advanced, and some of these aren't even advanced. They're just really engaged, so they feel really confident in the community because they know everybody, but hey, there's some people probably here that play better than some people over there. But in other words, though, you have this kind of middle group that don't do anything because they're not really asking the questions, but they don't feel the confidence or maybe the skill set to answer the questions either. So you got to get this middle group involved by getting them to, you know, answer questions, even if they just put the little input in, you know, really encourage it, you know, really have moderators that really ask for more input. What do other people think? There are no wrong answers. What do you guys think over there? You know, solicit response. Okay, user involvement and automation. Automated email alerts. You guys already know about new private messaging, new comment, new friend request. That is key. Now, obviously, members can turn this setting on and off, but you can't say, I'm going to be afraid of all these emails going out. We probably have tens of thousands of messages going out every day. Eunice would know the answer to that. I'm going to go query the database to really see. But by the looks of how fast the database grows and the terabytes of information stored, I'd say tens of thousands between different members and messages here and new alerts here and all this interaction going on. Yeah, there are tons of emails. Now, I did add one thing. It used to be every private message they'd get an email, and that would end in like 10 private messages or emails a day and just one alert because of a member's going back and forth. And some don't mind it because they want to be alerted like right on the spot. If I'm going back and forth with somebody I just met and we're really vibing and stuff, you know, maybe they can go turn it off. But I proactively said, okay, just send it once a day. So let's just say you get a new private message at 3 a.m. in the morning. You'll get a new private message email alert, and then you won't get any more for private messaging, at least. If you get a new comment at 6 a.m., you'll get that new comment alert, but you won't get another new comment alert for another, you know, 24 hours. So the most of each alert you can get is one in a 24-hour period. That's why I did it, just to keep it down, but I don't mind somebody being emailed once a day, because it's about interaction. I'm not selling to them. Yeah, there's some subtle sales in there, and yes, I'm keeping my brand in front of them every time they get an email alert, and yes, you know, we can change them to HTML alerts and put banner ads in them if we really wanted to in the future. But the idea is people are engaged. They want these alerts, or else they can turn them off, and we make it clear. Reply reminders. This is something very interesting. For example, user A sent you a private message 3 days ago and you are yet to reply. You know, so we would put a message like, click here to reply to user A, or you have not, here's some messages you haven't replied to. So we let them know what they've read, what they've replied to, and what they haven't replied to. And there's easy links to see all messages they haven't replied to. There's little friendly reminders. And, you know, we don't know what they're replying to. We can care less that they were, you know, of course, no, we care that they reply, but we don't know what the message is. But we want that interaction, because the more they reply, user A, user B, then user B gets engaged. They reply with user C gets engaged, and it's this trickling effect. Automated birthday listings, little things that you wouldn't, you know, think matter. Posting people's birthdays. How do you know their birthday? Well, they fill this out in their profile. You know more information about them than you believe you know. You know, we know their birthday. We know their year of birth in many instances, if they put the true date, and most of us do. And what we'll do is we'll list today's birthdays, we'll list yesterday's birthdays, last week, this same day last week, and we'll list birthdays this same day next week. Okay, so if your birthday is today, you're not only going to get it listed today, but then you're going to get it listed tomorrow, because it's going to show us yesterday's birthday. And then you're going to get it 7 days from your birthday as being last week's birthday. So we'll post these, and we post easy links next to them for people to easily send them a comment. So we make it very, very easy. It's not just enough knowing that it's Jay Griggs' birthday or Piano Mama's birthday. No, here's a hyperlink, and here's a link to comment and wish them a happy birthday. And you'll notice, and I can actually show you on our community, and I'll just take a risk by showing you somebody listen and see how many birthday comments they have today. Let's see. So here we are in our community. There's my photo, my best friends, all that kind of stuff. Okay, let's see some of our birthdays. You got birthdays today, yesterday, Leon Robert. Let's see. He doesn't even have a photo. But see, it takes them straight to the birthdays because it wants them to leave a comment. Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday. So, you know, they're being wished a happy birthday. It doesn't matter who they are, if they have a photo or not, you know. These are all yesterday's birthdays. See, she has a, you know, she's pimped out her page with a background, her own photo. She's happy. There's her friends and stuff. There's the same lady. See, she has no, you know, what interest does she have in wishing her happy birthday? You know, she only gets 2 points for a comment. So someone say, is it all about points? Well, 2 points in the 10,000, that's a long way from getting, you know, a prize. So it's a psychological thing, and it's also an engagement thing. This is her family. Reciprocity. She wants these people to wish her happy birthday, too. It's about friendship. It's kinship. These are people that share, you know, commonalities and things like that. Okay, so it's almost like we have a birthday crew and we don't pay anybody for it, right? Because they're engaged. Those are more of our regulars. And it helps to get these people because, hey, they're like, they're not expecting people to wish them happy birthday. And now they're getting these alerts saying you have new comments, and they're getting cards, and these are all coming from various members. And I'm surprised to see the same, you know, certain members. It's like the birthday crew. And not everybody gets to it. I mean, I'd be surprised if there's already one left for tomorrow's birthday. I don't know. Maybe not, but I'd be surprised. Yeah, see? They're already on it. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. And people would swear I paid, you know, certain members to do this, but it just doesn't work that way. I don't automate that far. This is not Steffer's wife. But, you know, that's how it works. So, yes, we automate the birthday listings, but it's up to the members to go greet and meet and ensure that person gets a greeting. So they want to reciprocate when they see your name pop up, or maybe that'll cause them to go wish other people happy birthday. And, you know, that just grows the site's interaction. So there's a screenshot of the recent birthdays I just talked about. of course, alerts. We've already talked about sense of ownership, but making sure the alerts are right in front of them. You know, this is their world. That'll be different for 75,000 different people. If I logged into my wife's account, that would probably say 300 because she never checks her buddy mails. It might say 25 new profile comments. It might say like 112 friends because she's not in as often as I am, obviously, but she's on MySpace every day. But see, playing by ear is not her passion. Jermaine is her passion, so it's harder for her to log in, right? New private message. Here's an example of an email somebody might receive with the link directly to their inbox. New friend has added you, an example of an email they might see. More user engagement tactics, okay, along the lines of user involvement and automation. Automated latest form posts. For example, other ways to do it, list the form posts since last visit. So you can automatically have all the posts that have occurred from the last time they visit. So they visit yesterday, they may only see, okay, 50 new posts have come since yesterday. If they visit last week, they may see like 300 posts. And, you know, maybe all these settings can be tweaked. So if it's over 300, you know, limited to a certain maximum number or whatnot. That's also a great way, and you can tweak that to your liking. Seamless reciprocation is what I call this one, where when a user receives a comment or a message, there are links next to each comment, and this is only seen by the owner of that page. So if user A submits a comment to user B is the owner of that particular page that the comment was submitted on. You guys understand that? So he only or she only will see links next to each comment saying reply to Jay Griggs, reply to Piano Mama, or reply to, you know, Jazz Guy 66, or, you know, whatever. And I'll show you a picture of this. And lastly, the kudos system. And what this is, maybe, and I talked about this as an answer to a particular question submitted via, I think, week one or week two. But basically, members award other members with kudos points or virtual dollars for providing meaningful input in the community. So, and I know, what is that? The Warrior Forum does buy me a beer. Now, we wouldn't do that in our gospel market. But kudos points or virtual dollars or hear and play dollars or, you know, something like hear and play honors or, and what it does, is if somebody answers your question, this will help the intermediates get, you know, in kind of the mix as well. Somebody's very helpful to you. You have a certain allotted amount of coins or virtual kudo points or virtual dollars to hand out to members every day or every month. You know, this can be really catered however you want it to. And the points are gained that way. So it's almost like, you know, the community itself creates the stars rather than anybody being able to come on and accumulate as many points, which is the way we've done it historically. That way works too. As long as the prizes are far away that somebody can't get there overnight. So they really need to be a committed member week after week, generally month after month. And now the kudos thing works great too. If you can really get that interaction going, and if it's worth it to you to have this develop, you know, for people to give each other kudo points and things like that. And then you can put them in a leaderboard and all that kind of stuff. Here's an example of, you know, latest posts. So this particular person, 129 posts since their last, you know, visit. And here's, you know, certain dates and the titles and the author and the form it was posted in. Here's an example of that reply I was talking about. Jay Griggs, post a reply to guest comments. So this particular guest commented on my page. Here, Jay Griggs, post a reply to For God 9, you know, and then whoever this guy, David, post reply. So it's almost like after you read it, and only you see this as the person who owns this particular page. See, this is my page. I own this. So I can click there. It takes me to his comment page, and I can say, yeah, thanks, man. Pleasure to have you in the site, or, you know, whatever I'm going to say. So that's that reciprocation. But then they get an email, so they log in, and it's all about exposure, you know. More they're logging in, the more they have exposure to buy your products, the more your affiliate offers, you know, things like that, as we'll talk about soon. So we've talked about user engagement enough, and those are some more ideas, and that's just to put icing on the cake. You already have a lot from week number one, to tell you the truth. And it's just asked to just keep these things in mind and you try to internalize them. So when the time does come, when you're trying to get things engaged, you remember some of these little tidbits that I only speak out of experience. Some of it is commonsensical, of course. Some of it just comes from knowing. You may think it's commonsensical until you, you know, have all these members and nobody's doing anything, right? So you got to get them engaged. And that's the difference in an active community and kind of a stagnant one. So let's move on to customer affiliates.